You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. A recent article in The Atlantic by Helen Lewis made a bold claim that the gender war is over in Britain. It's an overstatement to be sure, but it's not entirely unwarranted. Keir Starmer, the head of the Labour Party, recently led his party away from full support of radical gender ideology. It was a notable shift for the United Kingdom's largest left-wing party, which had previously encouraged radical elements of trans activism and stood aside as feminists were canceled for resisting it. The shift, which was somewhat quietly announced to the public, made three big declarations. Quote, one, that was sex and gender are different. Another was that although Labour continues to believe in the right to change one's legal gender, safeguards are needed to protect women and girls from predators who might abuse the system. And Labour was therefore dropping its commitment to self-ID, the idea that a simple online declaration is enough to change someone's legal gender for all purposes, and would instead retain the current requirement of a medical diagnosis of gender dysphoria. End quote. The author of the Atlantic piece equated Starmer's somewhat muted approach to this to a man who had chucked a hand grenade over his shoulder and walked away whistling, though it likely had more to do with strategy than anything else. Though it may be the cause du jour of ivory tower activists and educators, the past few years of policies and platforms so at odds with common sense and basic biology have left affirming politicians high and dry when it comes to public support. In fact, the greater trend across Europe seems to be a growing skepticism of the whole thing, which stands, of course, in stark contrast to the mood in North America. Still, at the same time, the protest in the U.S. seems to be growing. More stage time and prominence is being given to detransitioners like Chloe Cole, who as young people bought into the lies and did irreparable damage to their bodies through amputation and chemicals, and now regret the whole thing. More female athletes are following the lead of Riley Gaines and the Connecticut high school sprinters, and standing up to the intimidation and threats, and insisting on the crazy idea that only women should compete in women's sports. As more people refuse to be muzzled by societal pressure, others will be encouraged and emboldened to speak out too. And only in this way will what is true about reality reassert itself. Now, all of these things should give us hope that societal decline is not necessarily inevitable. And we should also remember that social media isn't real. Most of the controversies that monopolize the time and attention of pundits around the world are just sound and fury signifying nothing online. Most people around the country, and especially around the world, are more firmly rooted in reality than the folks that are writing headlines or pushing progressive policies or posting TikTok videos. One complicating factor here is that American politics is uniquely polarized. For example, in post-Roe v. Wade America, the American left has now elevated abortion to the point that no compromise is tolerated within the party. So even though many European nations now have far stricter laws regarding abortion than even conservative American states, it'll take significant effort to further move the needle here in the U.S. The same reality is at play in our efforts to protect children who are already born, too. What can and should continue to encourage us, however, is that reality will always strike back. Dangerous ideas, even when mandated upon us by cultural gatekeepers, cannot change reality. When Christians and other like-minded people stand up against dangerous ideas, we're not pleading for our own narrow partisan claims. We're standing for reality, for the way the world actually is. We're standing for science, for fact, for basic biology, for common sense. No matter the folly of human pretensions against this reality, this is still our Father's world. That means its boundaries can only be pushed so far. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Dr. Timothy Padgett. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Parents, don't antagonize your children in such a way that they're angry, that they're mad, that they're violent, that they're seething, that they are upset all the time, they're pouting. And when parents decide that their fun, their privilege, their lifestyle, their agenda is more important than building the right stuff in their sons or daughters, so many times they become passive.
The truth is, sitting on the sidelines as a parent just won't cut it for your kids. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Thou Shalt Not Be a Passive Parent, where he shares proven truth to help you actively engage in the lives of your kids. That message is coming up next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help you experience God's presence in a unique and intimate way with Dr. Young's new series, Made to Climb. This powerful four-message series will prepare you to lean into God's plan for you to climb high and share what you learn on the mountaintop with others. We'll send you Made to Climb as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Not Be a Passive Parent.
Genesis 25, 27 through 28. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a peaceful man, living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Let's prepare for the teaching of his word. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for so much, perhaps for too much. Make us stewards. Remind us that we're not owners of all the blessings you give to us. Lord, you speak now and let me get out of the way so that thy word exclusively may be heard. And Lord, give us ears to hear as we've never heard before. And give us minds to comprehend as we've never comprehended before. Speak true truth to us. And may, Father, in our heart of hearts, we sing, it's not my brother or my sister or the deacon or the preacher, it's me, O Lord. Speak to us individually. Let me get out of the way so that thy word might be heard. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Isaac, the biblical patriarch, was a passive father. It's hard to say anything more indicting than that. Isaac was a passive father. He and Rebekah had twin sons. One son was his favorite, one son was his wife's favorite. The turmoil of the house was sibling rivalry. And they fought and they debated and they deceived. They lied. Duplicity was the order of the day. Isaac was an intelligent man, but he was passive. He did nothing. It even gets worse as passivity is handed out from one generation to another generation. Because his son Jacob had more children and more damage was done. Because with all of his children, there was this still father who was passive in being the spiritual leader and lover in the home. And therefore, in Jacob's family, there was incest, rape, murder, deception, sibling rivalry. They got to the extent that one set of brothers sold one of their brothers as a slave. And over, you read in the Bible that Jacob knew about this and he commented on it. Jacob realized this was going on, and it would say that, you know, he spoke to his children. But so many times these things happened, and Jacob was aware of them. And the Bible says, Jacob did nothing. If you are a father and you are passive, I don't know I could say anything much worse about you. A passive father. I'm not talking about being an introvert or an extrovert. I'm not talking about personality types. I'm talking about a father, and for that matter, parents who are basically passive. Now, what do you call parents who are passive in the bringing up their children? I think you could call them parents who operate and who parent under the curse. And that's exactly what Isaac and Jacob did. They parented under the curse. You say, what in the world is a curse? Let me go back and remind you. We have to go back always to our moorings, to beginning, to our foundations. In the book of Genesis, you have Adam and Eve, and God said, you can eat anything in this garden you want to eat except that fruit from the tree that stands in the middle of the garden. You can eat everything else in all the pristine world. You can enjoy everything else in all the pristine world. You have total freedom and liberty, but you can't eat of this one tree. It's like trying not to think about a hippopotamus for 30 seconds, isn't it? You can eat of everything except that one, oh, that one tree. Trying not to think about a hippopotamus for 30 seconds is impossible. But you know what happened? Satan came, and for the first time, Satan told the truth. He said, Adam and Eve, if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what happened. They ate of the fruit. They had the knowledge of good and evil. You know what that means? It means that they took upon themselves the position of God. They decided that they would run their own life, they would control their own life, they would call their own shots, they would make their own decisions. And that's what all sin is about. That's what that first sin was about. The issue before you and me always is one of control. Will I run my life, or will God run my life? It was control. And that is what the curse is all about. That is what original sin is all about in the practical outcroppings of it. It's a matter of control. Therefore, we see Isaac and Jacob parented and were basically passive parents because they wanted to control their own life. They wanted the freedom to do their own thing, and they were not willing, listen to this, to pay the high price of building the right stuff into their children. Parenting is hard work. It's a lot of things, but I guarantee you one thing, it is hard, demanding work. And when parents decide that their fun, their privilege, their lifestyle, their agenda is more important than building the right stuff in their sons or daughters, so many times they become passive. And passivity is described in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, to wrath. And literally the word for father there in the Greek can mean parents. Parents, don't antagonize your children in such a way that they're angry, that they're mad, that they're violent, that they're seething, that they are upset all the time, they're pouting. And that happens when parents become passive because they are parenting what I call under the curse. Now, what rationale could any mom or dad give for not being spiritual leaders and not being real parents to their sons and daughters? How can anyone stand up and look in the mirror and face life when they are passive as parents? How do you do that? I thought about that a long time. I think it's because so many parents in the 21st century have bought into various myths. And the first myth is the myth of the good, bad child. And by the way, this myth is built into the American lifestyle, the good, bad child. You know what I'm talking about? It's the part Mickey Rooney played in Another Generation, the good, bad child. It's the Mark Twain It's a Buster Brown. It's Dennis the Menace. They're bad, but they're so cute and they're so good. You know, they're bad and good at the same time. So we bought into this myth that children are both good and bad, and don't worry about it, it'll work itself out, because this leads us to a second myth that passive parents fall back on. And that's the myth of natural goodness. Do you hear people say, oh, I think everybody's basically good? You know, I think we have to be taught how to do that which is wrong. We have to be taught how to go down the wrong path. Everybody is basically good. Haven't you heard that is a myth that has been proclaimed and propagated all the way through our culture? And so we say everybody's basically good, and children are strong, and they're, you know, they can bounce back, and so just don't mess them up. Let them kind of flow through life. We'll just back up and let nature take its course, because every child, every person is basically good. That's a myth. It's a myth. And that leads us to the third myth that passive parents, I think, fall back on, and that is, who am I to impose my beliefs on my children? Heard that one? You know, this should be a democracy, and children ought to go their own way. And who am I to try to impose my beliefs upon my sons and upon my daughters? Now, let the media pour their beliefs. Let the culture inculcate their beliefs in them. And let their friends, you know, tell their lifestyle. But parents, by all means, don't mess up your children by trying to pour your belief and your lifestyle into them. That is a myth. But that's happening all around us. Passive parents. Passive parents. And so many times, passive parents say things like, we can't afford that. And they give no explanation. They just say, we can't afford that. Or they say something like, sit down and be quiet. Jim Deloach thought that was his middle name until he was 12. Sit down and be quiet. See, that's what parents say. Sit down and be quiet. And we say, I'm tired. And by the way, those three phrases, they took a national poll, and you know how accurate they are. They took a national poll, and they said that's the three statements that the kids said they hear most from their parents. Sit down and be quiet. We can't afford that, and I'm tired. Now, we use all those statements. I've used every one of those statements. They're good statements. But we just state them and let them stand alone without giving an explanation or rationale. You see, we withdraw from their life and we become passive. Passive parents is a deadly, deadly thing. The other side of passivity is we become possessive parents. And this flips out in so many very, very interesting ways. Possessive parents sometimes become overly lenient. Let me tell you how this plays out. So many times in families where there's been a divorce, usually the mother has custody of the children, right? Normally. And the father has visitation rights, maybe for a weekend, every other weekend, and maybe they can keep the child for a summer. What happens when this father, who in all probability has run off little girl who worked down the hall in the office, who was so cute, and he fell in love for the first time in his life? You know, he didn't fall in love, he fell in lust, but that's neither here nor there. He divorced his wife. Getting too close for anybody here? I hope so. It happens all the time. And here's the result with the children. They become ping pong balls in the divorce. Now, what happens is the father keeps the child for a month in the summer, and the father takes them to theme parks. The father gives them money. The father gives them clothes. The father gives them toys. The father entertains them. And I'm telling you, that child says, boy, my daddy is great. And then the child goes back to mother with school and homework and clothes and decisions day by day. And mother says, I'd better be lenient with this child because they love their daddy so much. Overly lenient. Now let me tell you something. Malachi says, God is speaking, God hates divorce. He does not hate those who have been divorced. He hates divorce itself. And if you are divorced and there are still children in play, You sit down under God with your former mate and you do business intelligently and biblically about the rearing of those children. Forget your pride. Forget you want your children to think mama's right or daddy's right or someone else is right. Sit down and do it right, because the end result is so many times the father and then the mother is forced to be overly lenient. And guess who pays the price? The children. The children. And another thing, this is the other direction of a kind of passivity that's built in here. Not only being overly lenient, but being overly strict. Dot every I, cross every T. Overly protective. And that leads into be overly involved. Your daughter's a cheerleader in junior high school, and she cheers at all the games, and you go to every game, the soccer meets, the basketball, the football, the tennis, the thing, and all of a sudden, you're overly involved. Every time a parent can go in homeroom, every kind of parent can show up, you are omnipresent with your children. You never let them move very far until mom or dad is there hovering. Now, don't get me wrong, we need to be involved, but you can be overly involved. That's the other extreme of this. So the bottom line here is, when we're parenting under the curse, when we're parenting on the basis that we are going to live out our lives vicariously through our children, or we're going to let our children go their own way and do their own thing because we want to have our own happiness and our own pleasure and pursue our own vocational interests, this is when we are parenting under the curse. We are provoking our children to wrath. We're provoking our children to rebellion. We're provoking our children to go in the opposite way that God has bent them, as the Bible says. That is parenting under the curse. Now, how do you parent with grace? That's the rest of Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up in the admonition, in the discipline, in the teaching of the Lord. That's how you parent with grace. And that's an important thing. And the secret of that I call the AAA. How many of you belong to the American Automobile Association? You're a member of AAA. Would you lift your hand? You know, I belonged for years and years, but every time I had a flat tire, I'd look and I was about 2 months overdue for pay. Anyway. Let me give you parents AAA. If you're going to parent with grace with your sons and daughters, there are three A's, AAA, you need to nail down. First of all, there is affirmation. You've got to affirm your children, especially dad. You know, the parents figured out pretty early that there's a relationship with mom that's sort of supernatural. See, mom carried them for those 9 months. But dad can kind of back up. We've got to affirm them, that we are proud of them, that we love them. They are special. And you can do this at night, dad. Go by the bed and hug them and kiss them and stroke their hair at all ages and say, I want you to know I'm proud of you. You're special. You're just exactly what I would have ordered if I could have written out a prescription for you as God gave them. Affirm your children. Eddie Cantor, The Last Generations, as he looked at a list of the FBI's 10 most wanted, he said, those who are on that list would not be among the 10 most wanted if they had been wanted when they were children. Let your children know that they are wanted. Affirm them. Build them up. Encourage them. That's what we're to do. Also, we are to appreciate them. They need appreciation. There's not anybody here that does not need affirmation and appreciation by significant people that we look up to or significant people that we know. Everybody needs that. And especially through these little miracles that God has entrusted us with. They need appreciation. I always enjoy, and we have our concerts here. We have, so many little children singing, teenagers and preschoolers singing. And I remember it's great, particularly when the preschoolers sing. We'll have 200 or 300 up here at a time. And, And they'll walk up and, you know, they're free agents. I mean, they just do anything. And it's some experiences up here. And they line up all the little preschool, you know, all your sons and daughters. And they sit there and they present their little concert. And by the way, I sit up here usually. I don't try to watch the kids. I watch their parents. You are a much better show than the kids. It is great to see the dad there say to the son, the mother say, you know, they're just a multiplicity of signals that you're giving all these little ones up here, and they're looking and they're waving and they're walking around. I mean, they're having a big time. They don't know anything about me, and it's a show to watch you. And every mom and dad or grandma, they look only at their son, or it could just be one person up here, nobody else. This sort of thing. Boy, they're zeroed in. Does she look right? Is he doing it right? Is he saying every word? You know, how do they look? Man, it's a big deal. And you know, we've had some terrible head-on crashes with photographers of mom and dad. Boom, down here at the front. I mean, it is a zoo.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Isaiah 50:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Imagine you're with a group of people hiking the wilderness. As darkness falls, we realize our group is lost. We know the way home is north, but no one seems to know which way that is. After much disagreement and discussion, a quiet member of the group finally steps forward and with a compass of all things. Now, I don't know about you. We may have voted on what was north or south. We may have argued about it. But when somebody steps forward with a compass, I'm going to follow that guy. There's a lot of confusion and concern about the direction our culture is taking. What was once good is now considered evil, and what was evil is now deemed good. God's Word is a compass that will keep us every time on the right course as individuals, as a nation, and as a church. So avoid the confusion of a misdirected culture and trust in the truth of God's Word. His compass always points us to Jesus, our true North.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to send you Dr. Young's series, Made to Climb, to help you answer God's call to climb mountains to hear His Word to you. This powerful series shows you that God often leads His followers to the summit to show them something new and unexpected, and He wants to do the same for you. You were made for this. So call now to request Made to Climb as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again next week as Dr. Young concludes his message with practical insight into how you can build a stable and secure home for your children. That's Monday on The Winning Walk. Have a great weekend.
Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando reminds listeners that when properly maintained, the life expectancy for commercial and residential HVAC systems is 15 to 20 years. Without regular maintenance, that number can drop. If you're considering the DIY route to repair your unit, it could be very costly in the long run. That's why it pays to call your local trusted heating and air specialist at Marshall Donor AC and Appliance. Call 407-415-4044 for Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM.
Some of you have been given God-given things in the past, and you never had the guts to go get it. Why? Because you didn't trust God.
Dr. Tony Evans says the fact that opportunities come with obstacles shouldn't keep us from pursuing them.
If you're waiting to see it with no problems before you go get it, you're not going anywhere.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When life presents us with a problem, we try to fix it with the tools we have on hand. Nothing wrong with that, except we don't always use all the tools available. Today, Dr. Evans reminds us that God has given believers access to His tools, and when we make use of them, we can get on with the life He has called us to live. Let's join Dr. Evans in Numbers chapter 13 as he explains.
I want to talk to you for a few minutes about conquering your grasshopper complex. You are a grasshopper or have a grasshopper complex if you have a perspective that keeps you from taking the risk of faith in order to claim the promises of God because of the problems you see. You are a grasshopper in your thinking. If every day your problems get bigger and you get smaller, what causes a grasshopper mentality? Well, let's look at a few factors of Israel's situation. Number one, they had a history of whining. Whenever something went wrong, they complained. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord." So they had this history of whining. They had a second problem. Watch this now. Bad leadership. They sent 12 spies into the land to see which way we're going to take it. Not whether we're going to take it. That was established. This is our destiny. But how are we going to take it? Human strategy. God doesn't mind planning as long as it's planning to accomplish His will, not planning to accomplish your will. The leaders come back. Watch this. Verse 27 of chapter 13 of Numbers. They told him, "We went to the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit." Verse 28. "Nevertheless, the challenges are too big." It is what God claimed it to be, but I see problems in going forward. And there's a whole bunch of them, and they're big. They're not small problems. The descendants of Anak are there. Not only is Anak there, but his children are there. I got a whole generational problem to face. It's a big problem. You have bad leaders when the problems overrule the promises. When what you see, that's a problem. That's real. Those people were really there. Overrules what God has promised. God said, "Take it. I have already given it to you. Your destiny has already been granted to you. Your calling has already been granted to you. God has already designated what He wants you to do with the rest of your life and fulfilling the purpose of God. And He's saying to you, go get it." And you're saying, "Nevertheless." Now, watch this. We got 12 spies, right? All 12 see the same thing. But we got a majority report and a minority report. Because 10 come back and say, "We can't touch it. Too many problems there." They saw the physical problems, not the spiritual purpose. If you don't see what God is doing, you will be always reacting to what your human eyes can see. And you will never reach your destiny. If you're waiting to see it with no problems before you go get it, you're not going anywhere. Now, what's the difference between the 10 and the 2? Real simple. You read down what the 10 said in chapter 13, you will see no mention of God. None. You read what the 2 were looking at, they were looking at the divine perspective, not the human challenge. Some of us are stuck in places we ought not to be stuck, Because all we see are the people. And they keep us being stuck. Joshua and Caleb said, no, I see what God is doing, so let's go. You can't see it yet because you're on the wrong side of the Jordan. Let's cross this Jordan. God has already granted us the land. It's already ours for the, watch this, taking. Some of you have been given God-given dreams in the past and you never had the guts to go get it. Why? Because you didn't trust God. So you're stuck and you're not realizing his purpose and productivity for your life. Now, at the bottom of all this, you know what another problem is? They forgot what God had already done. They forgot about the Red Sea, about water coming up out of the rock, about manna coming down from heaven. They forgot all that. They forgot the footsteps of grace. They forgot the only reason we made it this far is because God then brought us a mighty long way, a mighty long way. Once you forget what he did for you yesterday, come on, some of us shouldn't even be here today. But God came through yesterday to show you, even in your weakness and even in your failure, he came through yesterday. He does not want you to forget yesterday when you're facing giants today. They forgot what he did. It was a distant memory of all that he had done. Satan has his enemies postured in the middle of your purpose to keep you from crossing over. He wants you to see the challenges, the difficulties. He wants you to see, I've never done it before. Nobody's ever done it before. He wants you to see this. That's why, look, if you're going to hang out with somebody, hang out with the two, not the 10. You hang out with the two. You hang out with folk who see the spiritual perspective of the thing, not 10, even though that's a larger number, who only see the physical challenges. You hanging out with the wrong group. You talking to the wrong people. You watching the wrong shows because you're hanging out with folk who are not seeing what God is up to. Nothing is more exciting than looking at a person that you care about and telling them about their destiny in front of them. Especially when you see them right up on it. Especially when you see that it's time to cross over. And they may not be able to see it. The people did what so many of us do. They took a vote. Let me tell you about voting. Certain things it's okay to vote on. They cast lots in the Bible. But let me tell you what you don't vote on. You don't vote on the will of God. You don't even offer an election regarding the will of God. See, they took a 10-2 vote. Majority won. You don't vote on the will of God. You got the minority report. They knew what God wanted to do. The 10 did not. Why? Because the 10 were measuring things by a different yardstick. They saw the giant and they measured it against them. The 2 saw the giant, but they knew that there was another giant. And they measured him against that giant. See, they measured the giants in the land against God. The 10 measured the giants in the land against the Israelites. Two different yardsticks. You want people who can see God.
Dr. Evans will return with more of today's lesson in just a moment. First, though, I'd like to tell you about a powerful new book from Tony that explores biblical compassion and how you and I can cultivate kindness in the culture around us. Created for Compassion is a 30-day devotional that combines pertinent scripture passages along with teachings from Dr. Evans. You'll be inspired and challenged to live out the divine call to love and care for others with the same compassion that Christ demonstrated. As an ambassador of God's compassion, you'll experience increased blessings in your own life as He touches others through you. To celebrate the release of Created for Compassion, we have an exclusive offer that'll get this new devotional into your hands along with all 7 full-length messages from Tony's current audio series called Find the Faith You Need. We'll send the complete package as our gift to anyone who helps support Dr. Evans' ministry with a contribution. We depend completely on your support to keep this program on the air. And this is one way we can show our appreciation for your faithfulness. Call us today at 1-800-800-3222 to receive Created for Compassion and find the faith you need. That number again, 1-800-800-3222, or visit us online at tonyevans.org. Dr. Evans will return with part two of today's message right after this.
Impactful, amazing, intense, thought-provoking. That's how just a few students describe their experience since enrolling in the Tony Evans Training Center. The best part is, the Training Center is wherever you and your online connection are. Going beyond a Sunday sermon, these compelling Bible study courses take a much deeper look at Scripture, the Bible's writers, social issues of today, and so much more. Log on today to learn more at TonyEvansTraining.org. TonyEvansTraining.org. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
What happens when you begin to think and then function like a spiritual grasshopper? You shrinking. Because these problems are larger. Consequence number one. Some of you have experienced consequence number one. Illegitimate emotionalism. Verse 1 of chapter 14. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept all night. It says they boohooed all night long. It says they cried all night long. Illegitimate tears. Those tears were not legitimate because they were crying due to unbelief. Just because you're crying don't mean you should get sympathy. Are they righteous tears? Are they unrighteous? See, these were unrighteous. These were tears due to rebellion. They were crying, but they were crying because of their refusal to move forward in the will of God. Illegitimate emotionalism. Now, here's the worst one, though. Here's the one you don't want, and yet many of us are in it. They were sentenced to the wilderness. Did you hear me? They were sentenced to the wilderness. For every day the spies were in the land seeing the will of God, it was multiplied 365 days per annum, 40 times. They were sentenced to 40 years wandering. Some of us are going in circles who are too old to be going in circles. Been saved too long to still be going in circles. Been in church too long to be going in circles. To not have realized, ask you, what is your purpose? I don't know. You're 65, but I don't know. I don't know, I'm just trying to make it. At 65, you're not supposed to be trying to make it. 55, 50, I mean, depending on how long you've been saved, of course. By this point, you should have the mark of God on you, fulfilling the purpose of God for why he saved you and redeemed you. But they were sentenced to going in circles and never walking into their destiny. Now, that seems a little hard, right? It seems like God's a little cold on this one. You know, 40 years going in circles near the promised land, not able to cross over into the promised land. Why are you going to be so cold, God? That's too cold. Now, I've read this 50 times or 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. I've read it, but I never saw it till I was preparing this message. I read it like we do a lot of the Bible, like y'all do my sermons. You heard it. But I never heard it until I read it this time. And it's in verse 2 of 14. And all the sons of Israel grumbled. Remember the whiners? against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, watch this, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. God sentenced them to their request. Hello? Come on now, somebody ought to see that. We call that a nugget. They got sentenced to what they requested. Would that we had died in the, it would be better, watch this, to die in the wilderness than to move forward in faith with God. We'd rather die out here. God says, you got it. You love the wilderness so bad, you think, I don't know what I'm doing? Good. I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. I'm going to give you the rest of your natural life in the place that you say you want to be, because you won't move forward with me, so you're going to be stuck there. Guess what God is doing for many of us? Giving us what we asked for. You mean to tell me I got to live in this miserable marriage for 10 more years? Oh, that's what you want? You can have it. You mean I got to live as a miserable single for the rest of my life? Well, that's how you're looking at it, so you can have it. Guess what God is doing? He's giving you exactly what you're asking for. Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to spend the rest of my life working in this job, this meaningless career. Oh, okay, that's what you want. You can have it. God is giving a lot of us exactly what we're asking for. You say, but I never got on my knees and asked for that, but you never moved forward across the Jordan to get something else. You never claimed what was yours in God. He said, if you are pleasing unto God and you stop rebelling against God, he has, see, that's what we mean when we say Satan is defeated. I know we sing that, but we leave here, he don't look like defeated to me. Look like he's still pretty, he own it. He don't look like he no defeated. I walk out the door, he ain't even defeated when I get in the car with the family. He ain't defeated. Them children are still driving me nuts. He ain't defeated. I gotta go to that job. He ain't defeated. How is he defeated? No, you don't understand. It was just like the Jebusites and Canaanites were defeated. God hath already delivered them, but you got to take the victory that has been granted. So, time is up. What's the cure? There's only one. Only one cure. Hebrews chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, both of them talk about this event. Okay? Hebrews chapter 4 says, they got stuck in the wilderness because they refused to mix the word of God with faith. It says, the reason they got stuck, they talking all this faith stuff. He talk, I believe God, I trust God, that's talk. They refuse to mix it. Mix the word of God with faith. What does that mean? Okay, watch this. You have cement, right? A bag of cement. You know why you buy a bag of cement? Because you want to make some concrete. That's why you buy a bag of cement. You want to make concrete, so you buy a bag of cement. But the bag of cement is not concrete. It's the ingredients for concrete. In order to get concrete out of a bag of cement, you got to mix it. You got to mix it with sand and water. When you mix sand and water with a bag of cement, it's going to get hard and it's going to become concrete. The reason why a lot of our lives are not yet concrete is because we got this unmixed bag of cement. We come to church and pick up our bag, but we don't mix it with nothing, so it never gets hard, so we live in sinking sand. Things are not concrete. We're not walking with assurance. We're not walking in victory. We are walking in defeat because we never mix the word of God with faith. You say, how do I mix the word of God with faith? Well, we got to define faith. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Faith is measured by your feet, not by your discussion. So telling me you trust God, telling God you trust God, means nothing to God until he sees which way your feet are moving. In other words, are you operating on his word? If you're not operating on his word, as far as God is concerned, you don't have faith. Because if you had faith, you wouldn't be on this side of the Jordan still having a meeting. You'd be marching across the Jordan to take the land from giants. Yeah, and I'm going to let them be big giants. In fact, I may give them some hormones and let them get just a little bit bigger. You remember David and Goliath? Everybody's scared of Goliath. He's 9'9". He's a warrior. He's got a history. He's got four brothers. That's why David got 5 stones. He's going to wipe out the whole family. It says everybody trembled at Goliath. You know what David said? He said, who is this Philistine dog? He said, who is this dog causing the armies of God to tremble? He says, you may come to me with all your stuff. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Israel saw a giant that they feared. David saw a giant he couldn't miss. He had a totally different perspective. This was an opportunity for God to show off and show out.
If you want to have the same perspective David had, knowing that with God on your side, you can't miss, but you've never really asked him to be on your side, here's Dr. Evans with a word on how to do that.
If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do that right now. Simply go to him and acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that you're transferring your trust to him alone because of his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. In fact, I'm going to say a little prayer and you can repeat it after me. You just have to mean it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross in my place for my sin, and I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and to give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone who came to him for it. Thank you for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Congratulations. Welcome to the family. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we invite you to visit Dr. Evans' website, tonyevans.org, and click the link at the very top of the page that says Jesus. You'll find plenty of information and resources there to help you get your new life headed in the right direction. And while you're there, you can get more details on that special offer I mentioned earlier, Tony's 7-lesson collection, Find the Faith You Need, along with his brand new devotional book, Created for Compassion. You can get all the details for receiving this bundle of resources as our gift when you visit tonyevans.org or call 1-800-800-3222, where one of our helpful team members is ready to assist with your request. Again, that's tonyevans.org or by phone any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222. It's easy to look back over our faults and failures and start feeling like we're too far gone for God to use. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will point out that it's never too late for the Lord to build a positive future from the broken pieces of our lives. Right now, though, he's back with these closing words.
What's your perspective today? We're all getting older. We don't have a lot of time now to miss our destiny. Yesterday's gone, so you can't get that back. But you're still here today, so you ought to be headed somewhere tomorrow. You ought to say, Lord, thy will be done. Whatever your will is for you, my life, I am now available to do it. Show me so I can walk in it.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
people.